And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, today we deep dive. Oh, I like that. Into a profound teaching about the faithfulness of God. While most of us acknowledge His faithfulness, and we have personally experienced it, we will focus on His profound connections to us. These connections reveal His unwavering commitment to us. That's something everybody needs to recognize, because people in our lives do not remain faithful the way that the Lord remains faithful. It's through His connection to us that we become connected to Him, allowing us to rely on His reliability. That's a good one. Next, we're going to explore three distinct realms of these connections, and I've talked about this before, each one of equal importance, kind of connecting it to the Trinity. If we grasp these truths and apply them in our daily lives, our path becomes much clearer. We also unlock our potential to partner with God in conquering every obstacle. And finally, we conclude this encouragement, and as we do that, let's understand the motivation behind the Lord's desire to be connected to us. His connection is not coerced or influenced by external factors. Did you hear what I said? His connection to us is not coerced or influenced by external factors. He is self-sufficient and independent. He chooses to stand with us, to connect with us, and to journey alongside us faithfully. The everlasting connection He has established with us is a result of His boundless love residing in His heart, a connection that we will all cherish and enjoy for all of eternity.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities. And oy vey, oy vey, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
Dynamite! You know what it's like to talk to Dynamite D? It's like being in charge of something and everything runs smoothly.
Oh, wow. Fingers crossed.
For those that don't know, Jennifer's on vacay, and so Dynamite D is in charge.
You know, Jennifer's missed the do everything. So
yeah, I know.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I know. So you're just like, and so you got to be, right now everything's going really smoothly for him, and that's how we want it to be. When I get home, I don't want to get a text going, I'm losing my mind. Okay, anyway. So be praying for Dynamite D, as well as Jennifer, who's on vacay, and don't forget Don, who's a big part of helping us try and do the things that we're trying to do as well. So here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request or a praise report. We want you to be able to connect with somebody. Fellowship is an essential part of the Christian walk. There is no, now look, I liked Lone Wolf McQuade. I don't care. But there's no Lone Wolf McQuade people in the kingdom of God. You can't be separated. You can't love one another if there is no other. It's just that simple. How do you do that? How do you fulfill the commands? Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said in John 13, 34, and 35. How do you do that if you don't fellowship? It's impossible. So that just tells you what we got to do. And then Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as we see the day getting closer. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. You know, you can go on and on. You guys know that. But we need to strengthen one another the best we can, bless one another, and encourage one another. So that could be in prayer. That could be, you can have a praise report you want to just share. It's a blessing, a story, something the Lord did for you. You just want to share it. A request you need to have prayer for. All of that is available for you, as well, by the way, as answering trivia, because that helps other people hear the word of God and other people get involved. Okay, here we go. Men begin to speak different languages when what tower was being built? Men began to speak different languages when what tower was being built? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So in the very beginning, in the early times of man spoke different languages when a particular tower was being built. It was the Lord who went, ba-bam-o! And when he did that, they all started speaking different languages. What tower was it? And just to answer Al's question, he said, does he have to move to San Diego to listen to the show? The answer is, of course, no.
I hope not.
That's so funny. It's like, yes, we're going to all move to San Diego for the 30 minutes, and then I'll move back to Texas for the 60 minutes, and we're going to do that every day.
Hope we don't go insane.
That's just not, can you imagine? Just like, no. Okay, that's my answer. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I think we have everything set up that we think we're going to try and put together. And I know you were praying for us on a regular basis, and I need you to just keep doing it. Don't stop whatever you do. And then also maybe a side extra prayer. Noelle's not feeling as well as she normally does. I don't want to get sick, and I want her to be better. So it's selfish, and at the same time, it's because I love my wife. So I'm just saying it's a little of both, if you catch what I'm saying there. Okay.
I'm praying for you.
I appreciate it, bro. Here we go. Ready? All right. The triv question. All right. In this earlier time of mankind, man began to speak different languages when this tower was being built. What tower?
Tower of Babel.
That is correct, Amanda! You are so right, my brother. And I love praying for you, so I hope you don't mind that one. I mean, I don't ever want you to hesitate calling in on trivia or anything because I pray for you all the time. I love praying for you, okay? So, I mean, it blesses me. So if that's okay, I'd like you to let me be blessed and let me pray for you again. Is that all right?
Okay.
You got it. Let's do it. Father, I come before you right now. Precious brother Gary, he's just a great guy. So I'm just asking you in the name of Jesus Christ to heal his body. And Lord, I hope you get annoyed by our continual prayers and answer them, that the persistency moves upon them, and that, Lord, you would physically touch and heal Gary in the name of Jesus. And until you make it so we can never pray, we're just going to keep praying. We ask you to touch his body and heal him in the body, in the mind, in the heart, in the spirit, every part of him. Heal him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and I'll be praying for all of you.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
Okay. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. I'm not going to tell you that Al said the tower. Instead of Babel, he said the Tower of Baloney. I'm just going to move on from there, right there, and go into all right. Okay, people, now this is not a complex message. It is a message of encouragement. Sometimes I need to teach a message of encouragement for me to remember. It's not just, and I know that's terrible to say that, but it's true that effectively, when sometimes we're talking and we're teaching, it helps me too. I mean, I need help. Oh, believe me, I need help. Tons of help. Trust me. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 28:20. Ready? Here you go. I'm just going to start with this because I got like a bunch of scriptures to go through. Ready? And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, stop. Okay, are you a Bible-believing Christian? Yes or no? Jesus said, I am with you always. One of the hardest parts of the Christian walk is those moments where we feel alone. It's just the truth. And it's not even that whether you're married or not, whether you have family with you or not, whether you have kids, parents, whatever the case, that we're not talking about that. It's just that sense that you are like on an island, or even worse than an island is you're on a boat that's unstable in the middle of the water and there's nobody else around, and that's how you feel like things are. That's the alone that I'm talking about. And so it's important for us to understand that the promises and the commitments of God, they don't move. They don't change, even if our feelings are frayed or like they're cut and torn, or even if you get that frustration. I get it. I mean, I fully understand it, and I've been through it, and I've experienced it, and I've been there and back and there and back and there and back, so I don't want you to get the wrong impression. But the truth is that what the Lord says about his connection to us is that he is not on Pluto. He's not in the forest hanging out in some tree where you have no idea where he is. He is with you. He is with me. He is with us. He's with us by faith, and the Holy Spirit is in us in presence. In the presence of the Spirit. So we receive Jesus in our hearts by faith. The Holy Spirit takes up inhabitancy inside of our system. Inside, you know, connecting to the born-again us. Not real happy with the old us, but that's a separate issue. And what we need to remember is that's the truth of it. That's why when Jesus was born, he was named Emmanuel, God with us. And we keep thinking that when you go through it, it's like, it's the same thing David said. And this is why you should know that it's okay to be honest with God when you go through these things. As David said, where are you? Well, sometimes you feel that way. Lord, I need you to, time to come with the army. I mean, I know Elisha, you saw all those chariots with fire. I need a chariot. I need a chariot, and I need the fire, and I need all that stuff. I need that right now. And the Lord makes further commitments to us in his word. Hebrews chapter 13, 5, keep your lives free from the love of money. It's not money itself, but it's from the love of money. And be content with what you have. Well, how can I be content with what I have, Lord? We're not able to make everything meet. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. This is three times in two verses. The Lord says he will always be with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you in that boat on the water the way that your feelings process it. He is never away from you like that. It's like, I know, but I'm not connecting to him. That doesn't mean he's not connecting to you, and it doesn't mean he's unaware, and it doesn't mean he's abandoned you. So how do you process these truths? How do you, that's a truth, right? The truth is he will never forsake us. How do you process that when your feelings tell you otherwise? Ready? You believe it. You trying to tell me I have to believe it? I have to have faith for it? Yes. You have to have faith for the word of God to be active about 10,000 times. And yeah, I know. It's frustrating because you don't understand everything that's going on. But just like we talked about in the psalm, in Psalm 37, where we were talking about the Lord doesn't forsake. Oh, I made a mistake. I've tripped. I fell. But the Lord doesn't forsake those. In fact, the rest of that passage in the psalm, the righteous have never been forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The righteous are never forsaken. You are not forsaken. What you are is struggling through, pushing through. And if you really consider it, how Jesus did it, I would almost argue when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm not sure that everything was feeling groovy. Okay, Is that a fair way to say that? How fair was that? He went, I don't want to do this. He said it differently, but it's like, but in submission, not my, but your will be done. Not my, but your will be done. So how is it that Jesus connected to the Father when he was feeling it going the other direction? He connected by faith and he's still connected by prayer. And the Lord never forsook him. We'll argue about the he looked away at the moment of the sin some other time. Well, you probably won't like my answer, but that's not the point. The point is this. God has made this commitment, this promise to you. And you got to stop thinking when you get in your car and go to work, he's still at your house and not with you. Or you've got to stop thinking when you go to a movie or you go to a restaurant or you go to a ball game or if you go anywhere that God is still in your car or still at your house. Or he is not. He's the shotgun angel. He travels everywhere you go. Shotgun.
And it's so important to remember that, Dave, especially when you're in that valley. It feels, you know, where is God at? Where is he at? He's there.
Yeah, it's amazing that I heard one teacher say it, and I really liked it. He said, when you go up a mountain, you use one set of muscles in your legs, and when you go down a mountain, you use a different set. Maybe it's all about just building muscles, and we just don't know it.
I like that.
Okay. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, right. This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind, and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Welcome back to to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where I'm still trying to figure out how half the show is already over. I just don't get it.
Goes by so fast.
It does go by fast. Here we go. This is an interesting question. Your answer is going to be in Daniel. Okay? That's that, because that should help you right there. How tall was the golden idol erected by Nebuchadnezzar? How tall was it?
It's a very interesting question.
Yeah, it's not an easy one. How tall was it? Wow. How tall was it? I'm giving you this hint is a little unfair, but some people are going to need it. Daniel chapter 3. I'm just going to leave it there. Daniel chapter 3. How tall was that thing? How tall? Some people are probably going to try and Google it. You know what? You can Google it as long as you promise to remember it. If you don't remember it, then you can't Google it. That's fair, right? Okay.
Like that's a great one. If you're not going to remember it, yeah, you can't Google it. Yeah. Otherwise, it's cheating.
Yeah, right. We're not, just not just trying to answer the question. You got to get something in there, okay? All right. I have two very fast jokes. We're just going to do these jokes. We're going to just buzz on through because I got a lot of stuff to cover. These are very, very short and very, very fast. Okay, ready? All right, somebody is calling in, so we'll get them. We'll have them hanging in there. It's two quick jokes about students and teachers. Kind of funny. They're cute, right? But they're short, so don't expect a lot on the joke scene today. Okay, here we go. Here is joke number one. Here we go. Teacher, Johnny, give me a sentence with a direct object. Johnny's response, teacher, everybody thinks you're beautiful. Teacher, thank you, Johnny, but what is the object? Johnny, a good report card. That's pretty good. Okay, this is my favorite one, though, out of these. Ready? All right, here we go. Professor, if there are any dumbbells in this room, please stand up. There was a long pause. Then a lone freshman stood up in the back of the class. The professor said, what? Do you consider yourself a dumbbell? The freshman, well, not exactly, but I hate to see you standing alone.
Say what?
That's a good one, right? I hate to see you standing alone. Okay, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Go ahead and do that. And sending them on through. Ring, 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 ring. There it is. That was a good one. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Well, it's good. I haven't called in a long time because I'm working all the time.
Well, that's good that you're working, though. So that's not a bad thing, right?
Yeah. And I'm not sure. The first thing that came to my mind was 90 feet.
That is correct, sir! You are right! That is correct.
Right.
That's right. So it's technically 60 cubits. There's a little discussion about 60 cubits plus this, whatever. It's right. 90 feet. Just leave it there. But listen,
that's big.
That's tall, right? That's huge, right?
It is.
I mean, if you think about a basketball hoop's 10 feet, so then you think of 9 of those, it's like, whoa, that's up there, right? Wow, that's big, right?
Yeah.
Excellent job, bro. That was fantastic. Excellent.
Thank you.
It's great to hear from you.
All right, brother. Thanks for calling. I listen to you all the time. But I can't call sometimes.
I got you. And you know what? I love you, bro.
I love Bible trivia. I love it.
I'm so glad. And you did great. Excellent, excellent, excellent guess. Okay. Very good.
God bless you.
You
God
too. Bye bye. All right. We sure have fun here.
Oh, we love our callers. Now, Dave, I was telling him off the air, what was that called? Was it a statue or another thing?
It was a statue.
Statue. Okay.
And actually, there's this whole theological here. I'll drop one and people don't know. Okay, ready? So there's this whole theological concept because remember, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this situation, right? And they wouldn't bow down, right? To the there's a whole group of theology that says the idol might have been Daniel because Daniel had told the king what his dream was. And so the king got relief and then tried to honor Daniel. So it's not, you can't really prove it, but Daniel's not mentioned in the bowing down or anything like that. So
oh, wow. Like, never heard of that one.
It's like one of those things you go,
You've got to, you know, it's like, that's interesting. All right, let's move into this next thing. It's going to be a little personalization. I'm not going to take a lot of time on it, but you guys know the story, but you'll keep hearing the story primarily because it's my story, so I guess you'll have to hear it. So I wanted to mention that, you know, how God sees our connection with him is he sees us as something that you can't separate. That God, what he sees with us and being connected to us is he is forever connected to us. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. God doesn't want to spend eternity with somebody he doesn't like. He likes you. Yes, he loves you, but of course he likes you. And so because of his outreach to us and his connection to us, he has this statement within the scriptures that he loves to be connected to us and has secured that connection, and it's like it's not going to change. This is what God says about the connection. I'm with you forever. I'll never abandon you. It's like, that's good. Especially for all the people, all the things in life where people have abandoned us. And you know that pain. You know what it feels like, right? So that's a very important part of it. The next connection I want to point out is how God sees our connection. You know, in one thing, he says something about our connection. Now he shows or he wants you to see how he sees that connection. This is what I'm trying to say is in the first section, we talked about how God talks about our connection. Now we're going to show how God sees it, how he looks at it. Acts chapter 1, or chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Here is something you and I must grasp, especially with some of the persecution that seems to have risen of late. God speaks of our connection to him in eternal, faithful, never separating elements. Now, what God does is paint a picture for you and I to see how he views that connection. The people of God were being persecuted and thrown in jail, and some were being executed. So Jesus interferes with Paul's journey to Damascus. This is when he saw. He interferes with the journey to Damascus. He blinds him. That's a good way to get somebody's attention. He knocks him on his keister. That's another good way to get attention. And then he goes, "Why are you persecuting me?" But you back it up. But Saul was persecuting the church. But Jesus said, "You're persecuting me." And what the Lord's trying to teach us is that when you touch us, he sees it like you're touching him. Because who was it that was getting put in jail? Who was it that was being persecuted? Who was it that was being arrested? It was the men and women of the way. And how Jesus interprets that is that because you are touching them, you are touching me. Do you understand how important this? I know we've talked about it before. This is that same thing I talked about when I had my situation with Pastor Dave in Colorado, how I told him my whole story. You know, it's like that same thing. And when I'll get into that in the next segment. But I want you to get something. The church people, that's a part of Jesus. When you look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, everybody comes up with all these really, you know, this means this, this means this, this means this. Hey, you know what's really important about that? Jesus is in the middle of the lampstands, which are defined as the church. Where is Jesus? He's in the middle. He's in the middle. He's with us, and he wants us to know that when somebody does it to us, they did it to him. Now, this is not in lieu of some sin you commit. This is in lieu of walking in faith with Jesus Christ. And that when you're being persecuted or you're being jumped on by Satan because you're a Christian, or somebody's saying something evil about you because you're a Christian, they're doing that to Jesus. That's how Jesus sees it. Now, that should help us additionally not seeing ourselves as alone. And you know what? If you weren't connected to Jesus, it wouldn't be the same. But you are. And because you're connected to Jesus, he connects to what you're going through. Here's the thing that people, he knows it. And just think about that. They attack you because of your faith. This happened. I mean, this is my upbringing. You know that, right? Jewish guy becomes a Christian. Family flips out, right? Who were they mad at? Were they mad at David? Nope. They were mad at Jesus. That's the thing. That's how Jesus sees it. Touch me, touch him. Ooh, better be careful. Because one way or another, the Lord's going to make it just. That's how it goes. All right. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So you know what David did? He asked God again. And how did God answer? He answered him. God didn't go, you asked me twice. Strike you with lightning. Strike you with lightning. It's like, that's not how this works. So the scripture says in 1 Samuel 23:4, go check out your Bible. Once again, David inquired of the Lord and the Lord answered him. It's like, go do your thing. Go. It's okay to inquire more than once, even if there's an answer that you've got, because sometimes we look for reassurance and clarity and for comfort and from eliminating hearing mistakes. We're not trying to irritate God. We're not trying to fight against his will. We're not trying to be disobedient. The Lord knows that. See, I think what happens is we'll do something. It'll be sincere action. Then somebody else may hear about it or you mention somebody, and the way they interpret it is different than the way God interprets it. When I come before the Lord and he says, go do this, and I come before the Lord again and do one of those, are you sure? You know, kind of thing. That's not me trying to be bad. And this is the same kind of thing that happens when you get into the people that one group in Christianity is like, you know, you can't ask for signs at all, because it shows that you either have no faith or you don't believe Jesus is Messiah. Well, first of all, that's not true, because God gave signs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So that's just silly. The other part of that is people asking for signs like Gideon were just like going, okay, I'm just trying not to mess this up, right? What Jesus rebuked was the people asking for a sign to prove he was the Messiah. That's substantially different than asking God, I just need to know I'm not doing this dumb. Right? I mean, and that's why what we do is we kind of pour into these rules and these reasonings, and it's like, you know what? Don't do that. Come before the Lord. Be yourself. You know, you don't have to you don't have to posture before God. He already knows. It's like, you know, I just want you to know I'm not going to look up right now. Now, if you really feel that way, that's fair. But don't do that because you're trying to impress God, because he knows you're trying to impress him. So then don't do that. Just tell him what's going on. Share your heart. Share your feelings. One of the things that I see about prayer, and this is a true statement. Some people say, well, people pray to get things changed. It's maybe better to say that we pray so that God changes us. That might be more accurate, so that we get into a surrender or a yielded position. It's not that you can't have faith, not that you can't pray, but what I'm talking about is coming and yielding and going, I'm just trying to get the clarity. I want to know what I'm doing is what you want to do. I think it's a very important element for people who are seeking wisdom, just to be as earnest and honest as possible. If the Lord grants you a sign, the bigger problem about that is most of the time, like for Israel, they didn't believe it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. So some people are going, well, I thought you were going to be simulcasting. Just for the first 30 minutes.
So, you know, Dave, people out in radio, you have to explain it to them a little bit.
Yeah, you have to tell what's going on. And that's not saying there was, we just know all the very particulars. And so on the 60 minutes, that's just going to be KAAM. But on the 30 minutes, it'll be KAAM and KBRITE.
So the first 30 minutes of the show will
be simulcast. That's correct. And if that goes well, we'll just see.
Oh, really?
There you go. Here's your next trivia question and a tougher one. I'm telling you, it's tougher. Answers in the Old Testament. The answer is going to be after Judges. Okay, so I'm trying to give you a little help here. Who took charge of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem after the exile? Who took charge of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem after the exile? Here is your hint. Maybe Manischewitz, maybe Mogen David.
Some of you out there go, see, you're just looking at me like,
no,
like
I know what that is, but ask the question again.
Okay, so who took charge of rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem after the exile? And so then I gave two very unique types of Jewish wine. Well, there's a third one. It's like, I don't like it, but I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about Manischewitz and Mogen David. Okay.
Interesting.
People who are getting it are going to get it. Otherwise, they're not going to get it, and then I'll explain it. If you think that was really made a lot of sense, didn't it? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Please remember to be praying for one another. That is critical. Also, if you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can do that on the website. And also on the website is a place to give. And we're asking you to partner with us and help us, because guess what? Not only are we paying radio rent on Friday,
it's like my least favorite day. There's only 2 days I don't like. Radio rent and then real rent, like the house rent, right? So those two.
I can see that.
Okay. Those are my two least favorite days. But that's not the point. The point is we're going into new territory, and it ain't free. It's a nice way to put it. So we can use all the help you can get. Check it out on the website. Go to hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
That's just classic.
So smooth.
So smooth. Smooth jazz right here on KAAM. All right. Here, I'm going to give you one last big hint. Who took charge of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem after the exile? He was a cupbearer for the king. Aha! See, that's where the Manischewitz and the Mogen David come into play.
See, that's what I was trying to figure. I was trying to see how it tied in there. Now I got it.
Then everybody missed that last line I did. It said there's a third Jewish wine. I don't like it. But that's just funny because most people, because that's somebody whining. You see, got to be fast or it just goes right by you. If you think you know, cupper. If you think you know, what was our phone number? What did I do with the phone number? I know it's 972 something, right?
4.
What is it? 97. Oh, here it is. 972-445-0770. See why I need these pieces of paper? That's the number to call. 214-210-8483. That is the text. And then david@hemustincrease.org. Let's get into the actual text. We'll do our history in the next segment. That's the way we're going to have to do that. If you think you know the answer on the triv, reach out to us and let us know. So I wanted you to see two things. I didn't do a great job of it, but I think you get some of the idea. You know, this, what God says about our connection, he'll never abandon us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's totally committed. That's what he says. Then I'm saying, how does God see that connection? And we look at Jesus saying, hey, you're touching them, you're touching me. When you're going after them, you're going after me. So we talked about how God says it, how God sees it, and now I want to talk about how God feels about it. See how those are different? So God says it. Our connection is just absolutely stellar. God sees it. He's so close to us that when it happens to us, it happens to him. And now the feeling part of the connection. Get that? See, that's very, well, it sounded better in my head. Anyway, here we go. And somebody is calling, so we will give them a chance because this is a long little teach. And so I will give them a chance to answer the question first. So hang on. But we are going to be going to John chapter 11, just so you can know. See if they're ready to answer a trivia question. We're going to have to fire them through. Yes, they are. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Eric. Da-da-da.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Just doing good here. I want to give a stab at that trivia question, and I don't know the hint very well. The hint doesn't ring a bell.
Okay.
I still want to stab at it.
Okay. I'm going to give you that opportunity. Do you want me to give you the hints again, or do you want to just go with what you got?
I'm going to go with what I got, and I'm sure you'll get me there if I'm not even close.
Okay, fire away, brother. Who? And so we're looking for a person. So that's good, right? Who took charge of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem after the exile?
Was it Nehemiah?
That is correct, Amundo!
Wow.
Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king, and so the first hint was Manischewitz and Mogen David, which are two very Jewish wines that both taste pretty much like syrup. And then the last thing, and then the other Jewish wine was just somebody whining, you know, I don't like that. And then the other thing was being a cupbearer for the king was his identity, his position. And so that was
okay,
Nehemiah.
So the wine and cupbearer
there
put
you
together.
Go.
Okay,
yeah, he
I
didn't.
Got it.
I mean,
okay.
People can get upset, but he wasn't a cupbearer for the king giving him tomato juice. It's fair to say.
That's probably a fair thing to say.
excellent job, though. You did a stab at it. You got it perfect.
Okay.
Exceptional.
All right. Well, I love your show. Love your audience. And I loved all the new people I'm hearing calling in. That's great.
Yeah, it is great. And we love you, brother. And you know that. You are precious.
And for those people living in San Diego, hey, we love you guys too. You know, you're our brothers from the other coast.
There you go.
That's cool.
You got it.
All right.
Thank you, bro.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Excellent job. Eric's always a blessing to call in. I still think that one thing you did with the bumper sticker thing is one of the funniest things we do on the show. All right, let me go into this. So we talked about God. I want to make sure you get this. God says our connection, talks about it. Then God sees our connection a certain way. So God says something about our connection. It's forever. He will never abandon us. He's committed to us. How he sees it is if we get touched, then he's being touched, and he doesn't like that. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Like if somebody blesses us, though, he sees that too, and he does like that. And now we're going to talk about how God feels about the whole thing. So we're talking about God saying it, seeing it, and feeling it. John chapter 11, verse 28 says this. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Did you get that? I want you to get that. Hold on. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Now, there's a phenomenal miss that takes place here by the people around Jesus. That's verse 36. It says, and the Jews said, see how he loved them. Jesus was not weeping for Lazarus. What was going to happen to Lazarus in the next, how long do you think it was going to be? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. Guess what? Lazarus was getting up. Dude, that dude was coming back. But look at verse 33. Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He saw their pain, and he felt their pain. And what we miss, and we do miss it, is that because we think of God as, you know, this gaseous element that's somewhere up in a sphere we can't even relate to, even though as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus was fully human and fully embraced the humanity, but and felt it all, but also did not separate from divinity. Jesus saw the grief. He started to cry. So when you're thinking about where God is, you know what he says about what he is. The picture he illustrates, touch my kids, touch me. That's a bad thing. But now you get to see the actual expression of his heart. When you are hurting and are deeply troubled in spirit and frustrated and you do the same thing I do. You grab your hands and you go, ah, you make like little fists and you go, ah. Jesus feels that because you feel it. Not only is he not separated from you, he endures each thing with you. And being human, he knows the feeling. The weeping, the grieving, and the pain. Stop thinking that he's on Pluto. And stop thinking he has no connection. All he has that you can understand is this connection with you that is absolutely beyond your logical capacity. He feels what you feel. When you get attacked, he feels like they're attacking him. He speaks of you in levels where he never wants to be apart from you. That's the heart of God. You're going through it? Guess what? God knows that feeling you're going through. He's not worried for you in the sense that he's like, I don't know what's going to happen. Of course God knows what is going to happen. But he knows the pain you're in, and he shares that with you. And you guys like, oh, yeah, this is what the Christian faith. Oh, yeah, this is why I signed up. Yeah, this is why you signed up. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad. Couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story. But it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference.
Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope, federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
I got nothing to say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're going to do one more trivia question, but you got to be really quick. And so if you're going to call in, you've got milliseconds.
It seemed like time escaped a little bit.
It's just like, wow, it's getting right past us. Okay, this is a pretty straightforward question. How many stones did the Israelites take out of the Jordan to build an altar to the Lord? How many stones did the Israelites take out of the Jordan to build an altar? Okay? All right. There you go. That's the question. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210 8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We'll do a very fast trivia, so let's do that real fast. Let's go whip. We're gonna
trivia
zip
or history?
Oh, history. I knew. I'm silly. I'm lost my mind.
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
All right. So I'm going to do this real fast, and then we have a person on the line, right?
We do, yeah.
Okay, all right. So today is National Bagel Fest Day. That's why I did history. Because, I mean, bagels.
I'll take it.
I mean, if you're Jewish and you don't like bagels, you're not Jewish. It's also National Coffee Milkshake Day.
That's a little bit too tricky to me, but you might like that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. it's all right with me. I'm okay with that. 1775 on this day, the department that would later become the United States Post Office was established. The colonial leader Benjamin Franklin was chosen Postmaster General by the Continental Congress. So something for people to know. 1903, first automobile trip across the United States from San Francisco to New York in 1903. That's 120 years ago.
Wow.
Today.
Wow.
I mean, that's just incredible. All right. And then 1955, I'm just going to go with this one. Ted Allen throws a record 72 consecutive horseshoe ringers.
Pretty good.
I couldn't get one out of 72, let alone get seven. I just don't even understand it. All right. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is number 72.
Okay. You're on a tight time frame, bro, so you're going to go right to it. Okay.
It's 12 stones.
That is correct! You are right! And what do the 12 stones represent?
Each tribe of the Israelites.
That is correct again! Okay, that's a bonus. I'm going to have to give you a bonus on that one. So, all right, now you can tell me. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Well, everybody's praying for you and praying for the people around you, and we love you, and we love that you call in. And as the little brother, you better not hesitate because that is wrong, okay?
Got me? I would not.
Okay, and I appreciate that, brother.
Okay, God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
You see how Samson did such an excellent job there because he knew our time was tight. Bam, 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 bam. Let's finish off. He did a great job. So we just talked about how God talks about us, how God sees us, how God feels about us. And I'm just going to answer the very last question, which is why? And I'm going to use a wonderful text. It's a short time to do it. But Psalm 18 says this, verse 13, the Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy with great bolts of lightning. He routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord, and the blast of breath from your nostrils. He, referring to God, reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. That's Psalm 18, verses 13 through 19. You want to know why God says what he says about us, why he sees us the way he sees us, and why he feels about us the way he feels about us? Because he delights in us. The fact of the matter, scripturally, is the reason that God does what he does with us and for us and helping us is because he loves us. And what we do, because we do get caught up in the motions or in the legalities or in the Christian, you know, Christianese of it all, or churchianity, is we forget the basic core of what set the whole thing in motion. God loves you. He doesn't love you any less. In fact, he actually doesn't really love you anymore because he loves perfectly, but he loves you. You are someone he delights in. He just enjoys you. That should be good enough for an amen, right? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.